It is 3:27, and I'm not going to be able to go through my 6 pages of notes. I will say a little bit, and then we will adjourn, because I believe we have heard the Lord speak. We've heard the Spirit of God. And incidentally, the sermon is titled, "And God Said." And God said. It is very, well, put it this way, we know and that all of this was created, is here, because he said. He said. He made us in his image and gave us the ability to speak, and thus when we speak and when we say things, things happen too. They don't happen on the order and magnitude of when he speaks. However, when we speak, things do happen. And so we've learned that we have to regulate, if you will, what we say. I was dining with someone last night who even said, I'm saying things differently this year. Amen. And so that's correct, because we need to order then what we say. But everything God created, he did by the word of his mouth. And I think that that word that came out of him, that word, the scripture says, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews 1 tells us that he created all things by Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is that spoken word. He is the word that proceeded forth from the Father. Man's existence and relationship with God has always been based upon what God said. Always been based upon what God said. So I want to look briefly at a few, well, not a few, but a number of those, and see what God said to them. Father, we thank you now for your divine presence. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who lives in the heart of each and every one of your children. And I thank you, Father, that it is you who said that in Zion you have always desired to dwell. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and help me? Lord, teach us. Let us hear the voice of the shepherd. Let us hear the voice of the Father speaking to us, speaking within. Lord, I thank you that there are various and diverse needs here today. But the chief shepherd, not this shepherd, the chief shepherd will speak to every one of those diverse needs. There's no one like you. We love you and we honor you. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't you love him? I'm telling you, when he talks, when he breaks it open, every one of you gonna get something, because he's the chief shepherd who feeds all of his sheep. Amen. All right. So everything God has said has always been about his eternal purpose. Everything that he said from Genesis 1, when he gave the command to Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where he pronounced the curse upon the serpent, "Upon thy belly shalt thou go, the seed of the woman will bruise your head, you'll crush your head, you'll bruise his heel," so forth and so on. All of this has been about God's eternal purpose. And so when God determined that he was going to continue with his plan, and he's, you know, with God there is no plan B, C, D. With us, there's plan A, B, C, on through to Z. But with God, there's only one plan, because it's perfect and it's without error. So there has never been any, he's never had to change it, okay? So here we are in Genesis 1:26, the first thing that God said to man, or said of man, he said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps." upon the earth. And so before God made man, he actually said, let us make man. Genesis 6 and 13, God said to Noah, so after he spoke to Adam, the next person that we have recorded in Scripture that he spoke to, of course, it spoke about Enoch, that Enoch walked with God and was not. But here it's speaking of God actually speaking to Noah. In Genesis 6:13, God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark covered inside and outside with pitch. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. When God speaks into an individual's life, everything for that individual changes. Everything for that individual changes. When God speaks into an individual's life, let me tell you what I desire every day above anything. Let me tell you right now. It's not the lottery. It's not to have a good day at work. I'm glad I get up and everything's working. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad. But the thing that I desire above anything is that Lord, I must hear from you. I want to hear your voice. Why? I just read Deuteronomy 8, which says, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so how did he create everything? He created it by his word. Then he not only created everything by his word, but he sustains everything by his word. And you and I, Loretta just gave us a good example as she's struggling in this situation. She says, but on the inside, that small, you know, that little small voice. Yeah. We all know about that little small. It's still and it's quiet, but it's undeniable. It's not screaming and roaring, but it's in the part of you that knows more than your head tells you. The world can be screaming at you one thing. This is what you need to do. But deep down on the inside, you know, but I know. Even if you don't want to do it, you're like, but I know what I got to do. You know. See, that's the Holy Spirit who lives within. And that place is where he guides us from. That, you know, and we live by that. We live by that. You see, if God's Spirit isn't affirming in you that you are his son, then you're not his. The scripture says that if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. He's going to make us alive in the end. He's going to raise us from the dead. But also that Spirit is on the inside. He says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. That's what Romans 8 says. So the Spirit dwells within and quickens us. So God says to Noah, and this one word changed Noah's life. How so? Oh, I'm going to destroy everyone on the planet. You think that would change your life? This is what you need to do. In that, what God said to him is the gospel right there. Because God came to you and I. And he says, I don't know how you heard it, but it went something like this. Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Everyone who doesn't believe is going to perish. You believed. You got in the ark. Same thing that God said to Noah here, that he was going to destroy them with the earth. And so when God speaks into an individual's life, and here we note again that God speaking to anyone throughout the scripture has never been because that person went running after God. Oh, God, I really need to hear from you. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, not with Adam, of course. Wasn't with Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David. I'm naming all the people we're going to go through. Gideon, Samuel. I'm just giving you, I'm just, I'm just going through the Bible in order how God appeared to people. And it was never because people were tracking God down saying, I really must know. I really must have a word from you. No, he was chasing them down. You understand? And so the scripture says in Genesis 6, and God said to Noah, God burst on the scene and said to Noah. So for Noah, hearing from God was a life-saving event, a family-saving event. The same is the case for those who've been called by God out of the world and into his eternal kingdom. For indeed, the ark represented Christ and his kingdom, into which those who were warned of God fled that they might be saved. And if God didn't warn anybody, no one would be saved, right? So we cannot put too high a premium on hearing from God. Excuse me, we had James and Sarita. Man, I wish, Lord Jesus, I love you. I mean, I wish I could, I love God's people. And I wish, see, there's going to be plenty of time in heaven for this. We have to work now, so you can't do this. But we had them over for dinner last night, and we sat down, and 8 hours later, or thereabouts, we still talking, and they're like, well, you know, we're going to let you go. And I'm like, well, no, you know, I'm having fun. I really enjoy talking, you know, and just, you know. And I'm like, but see, I want to do that with Dan and Sherry. Just sit down and just sit down and enjoy one another. See, you know, you enjoy God's people. Go over Josh and Anna's house. Just sit down and laugh and talk and love on Jesus. Go over to the, I don't have enough time. We have to go to work tomorrow. You understand? And I ain't going there. Ain't gonna mess with you. Just be with one another. God made us for this. Beloved, when we get to heaven, there's gonna be all the time just to be loving on Jesus, talking about Jesus, because he's in everything. He owns it all. And so we'll be talking about him, and who knows, he'll be walking by while we're talking about it. Can you imagine that? You know, I don't know. Okay, let me move on. Let me say a little bit more. So in the order of scripture, God spoke to Adam, spoke to Noah, spoke to then Abraham, right? Genesis chapter 12 says this. Now the Lord said to Abraham, he's the great initiator, by the way. He's always, and for people who say God doesn't speak today, I'm sorry. I don't know which Lord you're serving. I don't know what people say. God doesn't speak today. I'm sorry. He speaks very clearly. And he speaks so clearly, there's times that you don't want to hear what he's saying, but you hear it. He's going to make sure you hear it. Is that right? And so in Genesis 12:1, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. When God spoke to Abraham, he gave him very little detail. He just said, get up and leave. Leave your family. Leave your country. Go to a place that I'll show you. That's all he had. Very little detail, yet it was actionable. I mean, Abraham could get up and do what God said. It was for Abraham's benefit, but not only Abraham's benefit. Now, with Noah, I said that whenever God speaks to an individual, it changes everything for that individual. And that's true. But with Abraham, we're going to, and this is true of Noah too, we're going to take it a step further. When God speaks to an individual, he doesn't only speak to that individual for that individual. He speaks to that individual so that he can impact people beyond that individual. In other words, God, when he speaks, it's like a seed that he sows. And that seed, that word, is not only meant to affect one, but for the many. And so God says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to make you a nation. And so what God, what was true of them, beloved, is true of you. Can I make application? So then when God speaks to me, when God speaks to you, he doesn't only do it for your benefit. Go on. I told you about that story, that Irish lady who God had been blessing me with Isaiah 26:3, and I'm chewing on that thing, and messed up by that thing every morning. I get up. Ugh. Yeah. Listen, I'm so messed up by that. One day he whispered to me, he says, listen, when you think about me, that's not of your own doing. He says, let me help you. When you think about me, that's my Holy Spirit in you causing you to think about me. See, because you can't love me on your own. Hello? If we coulda, we woulda. Come on. Then he gave them the Old Testament scripture. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Did they do it? No. Their hearts were running in the other direction. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit comes and lives within. We can't take credit for the love that we have for God. For 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. So you can't take credit. I can't even take credit for the thoughts that I have about him because the Holy Spirit warms my heart to think about him. And so when I wake up in the morning and I think about him, hey, Jesus, I just get all beside myself. And I find myself in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on Jesus. So I'm out cleaning this lady's carpet and I'm feeding on this thing. I get in her house and I quote the scripture to her and she went off. And it was very clear to me that the word God was feeding me with was not only for me. It was for her too. It's for other people. And so we see the same thing when God said to here to Abraham, not only was it for Isaac and Jacob, but Galatians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 26, says that you and I are all children of faith. We are all children of Abraham through faith. Okay? So we have the Abrahamic blessing upon us. God's blessed us in order to bless someone else. And so I remember cleaning one lady's carpet up, and her husband used to work for my sister Pamela. He's a lawyer in a law firm. And I remember going to clean her carpet in McLean. I cleaned her carpet in McLean. This was years ago. She said something and referred to something. I said, I don't even know what she referred to. I said, well, do you have a Bible? She says, yes. We sat down with a Bible. Next thing I know, heads about, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. She received Christ that day after cleaning the carpet. She got saved. She got born again that day. So what I'm trying to say is that it's not just for us. And so we're like seed sown into the earth that we take his word everywhere we go. So God said to, who is this? This would be Genesis 24. This is the Lord God of heaven who took me from my father's house. This is Abraham talking to his servant who's going to get a wife for Isaac. He said, the Lord God of heaven who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying to your descendants, I will give this land. He will send his angel before you and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And so God spoke what he spoke to Abraham. Abraham's now telling his servant and using it so that he would be able to go get a wife for Isaac and not take Isaac back to the land of his birth or where he came from. Then in Genesis 26, this would be Isaac, God speaking to Isaac. Genesis 26:23 reads, then he went up from there to Beersheba, speaking of Isaac, and the Lord appeared to him. Again, we do not see Isaac stretched out, fasting in prayer, sweating and so forth, saying, God, please come speak to me. No, Isaac is traveling. He's got all his father's goods and so forth. He's very rich. And he goes to sleep. And it says, the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. He says, do not fear, I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Before God spoke to Isaac, he was not calling upon the name of the Lord. After God speaks to Isaac, he calls upon the name of the Lord. Thus we deduce, this is what happens. When God speaks to you, then you can begin to speak to God. But before he speaks to you, no one calls upon him. Hello. I said, no one called. I surely was not called. And I was in the Baptist church. Grew up in the Baptist church. But I wasn't calling on him. Why? Because he hadn't revealed himself to me. And then you say, well, they're preaching the gospel every day, are they? Well, yeah, they were preaching something, but I couldn't hear. It was when he spoke that I heard. That's why people can sit in church all their life long and not be saved. How? Because it's not what they're preaching, it's what he's saying. And when he speaks, beloved, you will hear. Listen, when God speaks, it wakes the dead. Literally, when he speaks, it wakes the dead. When we speak, nothing happens. But when he speaks, the dead go, huh? Oh, okay, here I am. I'm up. That's what Jesus did. Lazarus, you say, I'd like to know, how did that work? Did Lazarus actually hear? No. Well, but when Jesus lifted up, when God speaks, the dead will rise. Not only did that happen in John chapter 11, Jesus said in John chapter 5, he said the day is coming. That's at the end of the sermon. We're not going to get there today. But I'll just go ahead and mention it now. Jesus said, the day is coming when, first he said this, he said, those who are dead, he said, the day is coming when those who are dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and they're going to live. That referred to temporary Lazarus type conditions and all of those that he rose from the dead. Then he said this, after that, he says, but then there's a day coming. He said this, when all who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. And when they hear it, everybody gonna get up. He said, some to condemnation, others to righteousness. But beloved, you better believe it. The resurrection from the dead is gonna happen because he's gonna speak. God. He speaks and literally wakes the dead. Okay? That's why I'm concentrating on, and I love the fact when God speaks, everything changes. Everything changes. Okay, let me get to Isaac and who else do I have here? I'll just deal with Isaac and, I'll just deal with Isaac. Then next week we'll come back and deal with Jacob and so on. Okay, as a result of God's word to Isaac, Isaac built an altar and worshiped the Lord. Not only that, but Isaac dwelt in the place where God spoke to him. Isaac dwelt in the place where God spoke to him. And this is my heart, that I would dwell in the place where God speaks to me. That I never leave that place because his voice, listen, his voice, you know how our voice work, right? You know, we breathe across these cords in our throat and they rumble and all this, and this sound comes out and it shakes the air and it passes through the air. God, it doesn't work like that. Okay. When God speaks, life literally flows out of him. See, literally flows out of him. Ezekiel chapter 16, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. God said about Israel, when they were born, he said, I saw you, I walked past you, you were wallowing in your own blood. He said, no one wrapped you in swaddling clothes, no one cleaned you off, no one rubbed you with salt. That's an old term. But no one did all these things for you. And he says, and I walked by you. And this is what the scripture says. He says, I looked at you and I said, live. That's what he said. And guess what happened? When he said, live, Israel came to life. and live. Now, beloved, the exact same thing he did to Israel, he did to you and he did to me. September 4th, 1983, 4 o'clock, Oxon Hill, Maryland. I was thinking about it this morning. R.W. Shambach was preaching and teaching. I'd been to a number of his services. I'd been to Ernest Angley's service. I'd been to Richard Roberts. My mother took us everywhere. We were in all the services. I'd even gone down to a Richard Roberts altar call. He gave the altar call. I went down there, said everything he said to say, went back just as a sinner, just as much as when I walked down there. Don't ask me how it works. All I know is that it does work. It didn't work that time, but when I went down to R.W. Shambach and I went down there and prayed, and I said to God, I said, God, I don't know if what this man is saying is true, but if it is true, let me know you. And I prayed, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. A weight of sin flew off me like, my God, something happened. I said, oh. I'm holding hands with my oldest, or my middle sister. So we got holding hands. And I'm like, ooh, oh man, I don't know what that was, but something happened. It reminded me of when Big Mike was stood here. He died of I don't know what he died of, but this 25-year-old kid just up and died. But before he died, like a year and a half before he died, he stood up here, and I give the altar call. He comes up, and I go down and I pray with Big Mike. And so after I pray, he's standing there, and he's like this. And then he leans over, he says, I don't know what this is. What is this? I said, this is that, which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. He says, what's happened? He says, I ain't never felt anything like this before. I said, this is the Holy Ghost. This is God. That boy got saved that day. He got saved that day. And a year and a half later, at about, I don't know, his young mid-20s, early to mid-20s, he died. He just passed away. But thank God he got saved. Thank God he got saved because God spoke to him. Now, this isn't in my message. I don't have time. Lord Jesus, help me. Do I have time to go? Do I have time? Listen, because we see it. This happens, the partnership that we have with Christ. We are his ambassadors, right? And this is why we have to be so very careful with what we say. But there are times when we talk, God, his voice is riding on top of ours. In other words, that when we speak, he speaks. That's what happens when people preach the gospel. It's not the person. You know, Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When we speak, preach the gospel, God's power is released through what we're saying. That allows, that transformative power hits a person's heart and causes them to be transformed, born again. You see? And so but not only that, you can be conversing with someone and not even, sometimes it can happen, you don't even know it. Most of the time you know it. But Marilyn sat here one Tuesday night and told us she was talking to a woman from Afghanistan on her job. And she was just talking to the lady. And all of a sudden, a prophetic mantle, just anointing, fell on Marilyn. She began to prophesy to this lady. She began to tell this lady all kinds of stuff. And this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and it's going to be okay, and da-da-da-da-da. You know what? 2 weeks later, just like she said it, just like the Holy Spirit said it through her, it happened. A, B, C, D, boom, it happened. Because we are his people, and at times when we're speaking, he's speaking. That's what makes what we say so powerful and why we have to watch what we say. Right? Now, how did I get there? I said Isaac dwelt in the place where God spoke to him. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. Now, when I read that, and Jesus points us there even more so, but here's the thing. When I read that, the first part is about me and you, and the second part is about him. Okay, let me read it again. Abide in me. That's you is understood. It's the understood subject. You abide in me. Here's the second part. And I in you. Okay, now when I read that, my flesh goes to concentrate on the first part. Abide in me. What does that mean? Well, that means I need to live right, obviously. Think right, talk right, all of this type of stuff. We focus on who we are, what we do. Then the devil comes up, slaps us all upside the head because, well, you stumbled there. He's slapping you all upside the head, and you all into yourself. Jesus, he don't love me. I just slipped. I fell. Oh, I cursed. Oh, goodness. I lied. Oh, and we're all. But the second part, I and you. The first part is contingent upon the second. The first part is contingent upon the second. In other words, you cannot do the first part without the second part. So where the focus needs to be is on him in me, not on me in him in me. I'm preaching Ephesians to you all over again. I look at my sermons. I said, Lord, I've been saying the same thing over and over. He said, been trying. Yeah, because that way it gets in. It keeps getting in. What do you think, son? I ain't said nothing different for 6,000 years. What do you think you're going to preach? What you going to preach? No, I haven't changed. Oh, but I need some deep revelation. What deep revelation? I sent my son. He finished it. What's deep? You keep same thing. Okay. And so when you first save, it's all about you. Come on. How many of you first got saved? What did they tell you? Okay, you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to fast. Then they have open night prayer meeting. You better be there. I know some people, their pastor called them up, told them, rebuked them because they weren't coming to the 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Says you need to get your life right. You need to be at the 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Somebody show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible. What am I doing? I'm just saying that person left condemned, beat up, toe up because they weren't getting it right. But Jesus didn't say you had to be at the 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Hello? Amen. He didn't say that. He said, you abide in me and I in you. And so the Holy Spirit had to free me up. He said, son, you need to concentrate on me and you. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, not you muscling it in Jesus. Where I am, because I can quote the scripture. I can pray heaven down. Where I am, because I'm a super saint. I got two S's on my chest. I'm a super saint. But that's where people go with this thing. Hello, I got news for you. It's not like that at all. But it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He makes it clear. I'm almost done with Isaac. Just hold on. Who is 4 o'clock? Glory to God. We love talking about Jesus. Hang on. He says this, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. He's explaining abide in me and I in you. He's explaining it. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He just explained abide in me. He just explained it. And yet we still miss it because we go, I'll go to work. I'm going to try and walk with you today, Jesus. Oh, I can't look this way. Oh, I can't hear that. Oh, I can't think that. Oh, I said this. Oh, I said. All the while, missing Jesus. There he is in all his fullness. You know what? If you walk with Jesus, you converse with Jesus, you love Jesus, all that abiding business, you'll find yourself in him. Just be walking with him. You'll remain in him. You won't leave him. That's the way he ordained it. remain in me, dwell in me, find your all in me, receive all from me, require me, long for me, find your life in me. He said in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. And then John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. He said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. How do we keep his commandments? By abiding in his love. It's not the watchful eye of some critiquer in your life saying, no, get away from that. Don't do that. That's not it. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5, by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who's moving us to love God. It's his holy influences. Come on. As the old man and the old nature had its old influence and tendencies, we've received the nature, the divine nature, and the new man who was created after God in righteousness and true holiness. And so all those divine tendencies now are ours. Doesn't mean we never sin, but it does mean that we abide in him. And God has made provision in 1 John 2:1 that these things I write unto you, beloved, that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Father, we love you, we worship you, we adore you, we bless you. And we thank you for your divine truth and for your word that you have planted in each one of us, the seed of the word of God, which is growing, oh God, Lord, and filling every part of our being. So much so that we're being changed from the inside out, from the life of God that flows through every part of our spiritual being that's changing every part of the natural life that we live. We thank you that we're being taken from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Lord, we're being changed as we look in the face of Jesus. We're being changed and transformed into that very image. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that your word would have free course in our lives so that we will be a mirror image of your Son, Christ, to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Father. In his holy name we pray, and everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.